Our prayer as we stand. Father God, we thank you for these words we've heard read. We thank you for the promise of your Spirit. And we pray that you give us understanding and true experience of these things. This morning and each day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I have a very simple message this morning, so you may not need to take too many names. Very, very easy to get our heads around, and I don't want to labour it too much, but very important. Really simple, the need to connect with God on the one hand, and with the world around us and the people living alongside us on the other. And to keep those connections strong both ways, investing, listening, pursuing those relationships. And what we find in both these passages, certainly in the wider context, you get both those things. This example of Paul connecting with God, connecting with the people around about him, and this call from Jesus in John's Gospel to stay connected with God, but to stay connected with the world that we're living in. The emphasis in the two passages is slightly different. In the John passage, it's more of an emphasis, especially in the passage we heard read, on that connection with God. In the passage in Acts, much more of an emphasis on that connection with the people in the world round about. But what we find, the overall context is both those things together matter. We don't want to be a holy huddle in our little bubble here. We don't want to be just spending all our time in the world there and not and leaving God out. But together, really powerful. Simple message, right? Really simple. I'll just unpack it a little bit. As we look a bit more deeply at Paul's example in Acts 17, and the context here, what's happened, Paul has been travelling, preaching the gospel. He's been to Thessalonica, then he went to Berea, and he got into trouble. And he kicked up so much of a fuss, people really didn't like what he was saying. They found the message of Jesus quite offensive. And so they were after him. And he ran away, he managed to escape. And he's gone to Athens in hiding. He's not gone there on a mission trip, he's run away, okay, because he's got into trouble. And what we find is just this account of Paul wandering around Athens, capital of the Greek Empire, and just looking and watching. And we read in Acts 17 that as Paul wandered around, he wept. He's weeping as he sees these people are living like this, they're worshipping this, they're missing the true and living God. And look, they're so close over here, but they've not quite got it. And these people matter so much to God. And he is weeping as he wanders around Athens. No particular agenda, nothing, no place to be, no appointments in the diary. He's just there, finds himself in this position. And why does he weep? Because he is so connected with the living God. The compassion of God is there. So when he sees these things, he feels something of the heart of God for these people, for what's happening in Athens. Tremendous example as we read through. It's verse 16 if you want to look in chapter 17. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he says, okay, I'm going to start talking. And he goes to the synagogue and he goes to the marketplace. He goes to the Areopagus, the place where the philosophers debated about what was true. And they had all sorts of different ideas. The Stoic philosophers, the Epicurean philosophers are the ones mentioned in the text. And they had very different ideas about the way the world worked and how things were and all this sort of thing, where they came from, where they were going. And they would just spend all day, every day, talking around, chewing the cud, throwing ideas around at each other. And that was the way they liked to spend their time. So Paul comes into this, And all of them with one voice say, this guy is a babbler. You know, we don't really understand. This is left of field. Doesn't fit our conversation. You know, he's not using quite the same framework of reference here. This guy is a babbler. What is he trying to say? They didn't know. He seems to be advocating foreign gods. Maybe we don't know what he's really saying. And they said, we want to know. So come and give us a presentation. They invite him. It's interesting. It's different. We like ideas. Come and share your ideas. Reminds me a little bit of last night. Last night at Hethel Church, Andrew was presenting his research from his MA on Will Dogs Chase Cats in Heaven? He had quite a good crowd, and he thinks, what a disarming title, isn't it? Quite interesting. But goodness me, really generative and thought-provoking, and some of the questions in the conversation, and there were people there with all sorts of different viewpoints and all sorts of different reasons that were there. It was fun, wasn't it, for us? Really good. And it really interesting. But where you've got this, you know, not everyone is in agreement. You know, people have different views, different backgrounds, different journeys to where they are. And so there's this real task of how do I put across the message? And what we find, the way that Paul does it, it's a unique context. Some people would say that this was Paul's failure. I don't know if you've heard that. Because, you know, other times when he's preaching, loads of people get converted, but here, only a handful. But that's really to miss the point. This is a unique context. The people that Paul is talking to are further away than any other crowd we get anywhere. And in terms of what's, you know, similar to our context, this is more similar to us than anything else we find in the Bible. We're not preaching to people who agree on a quite... you know, shared understanding of who God is and all of that. We're engaging with people who've got a big range of ideas of all sorts of things. And what we find is in this passage, a handful of people believed. And some went away with some more questions and some thought he was completely crazy. But, you know, a handful believed. If last night we'd been able to change people's whole worldview on the basis of one evening, that would be quite an astounding outcome. You know, just for one person to sort of, because it's such a big thing. So for Paul to achieve that in just one encounter is quite remarkable. It's not a failure at all. But others, the interest is wet, the appetite is wet, they're wanting to find out more. So how did he achieve this? You know, what did he do? He was very sensitive to the people he was talking to, strategic about how he was going to communicate the message, what order he was going to let them lay things in, what, you know, how he developed his argument. So he'd thought about it, but just the way that he listened and was striving to connect, to relate with the people he was talking to. He'd made the effort, he'd wandered round and he'd seen in their temples there's this shrine and this thing here, and here's a shrine to the unknown God. And so he notices it and he says, look, I can see your religious people. I've had a look in your temples and I know that you've got an unknown God. So here's a connection point. You're religious, I'm religious. You've got an unknown God. Maybe I can help you out with that one. You know, he's looking for the points of connection, and then he's quoting from their poets. So in verse 28, in Acts 17, he quotes from a couple of poets. And it's interesting, he quotes from one of them that belonged to one of the schools, the Epicureans, and then he quotes from another one that belonged to the Stoics. So again, he is very clever, very strategic, being inclusive. So he quotes from a chap called Epimenides, a Cretan philosopher. He said, for in him we live and move and have our being. And then he quotes from a Stoic, Cilician philosopher, Aratus, who says, we are his offspring. And he knows, they'll know that poem and they'll know that thing. And your poets have got some idea and they're grasping for these things. And, you know, we've got some connection here. Now let me help you move on a little bit. And all the while, connecting with people staying connected with God. And what we find is, it's quite explosive. It's quite a reaction. You know, they're saying, interesting stuff. Come and talk to us, we're really interested. He talks to them and they're saying, whoa, who is this guy? And there's quite an explosion. They cut him off. He's not able to finish. He gets as far as saying that God raised this person from the dead. This person is going to judge everyone at some point. And as soon as he starts talking about people coming back from the dead, that's it. As soon as we get to Easter, anyway, he doesn't get as far as Good Friday. He doesn't tell them about the cross. Some people have criticised him from there, but he's been cut off. Maybe he was working up to that, but he's been cut off. But even that, so some people believe. But it just shows the message we carry, the story we have, is explosive, it's powerful. It challenges people to think again in all kinds of different ways. And especially in this sort of context where there's this smorgasbord of ideas and everyone thinks all sorts of different stuff, a bit like us today. You know, our message can be so different that people can't compute to start with, and when they do listen and hear, it's so different, it's open to misunderstandings and all sorts of things. But it's not a reason to stay quiet, because it's so good. Ultimately, our message is a good one, if we persevere to dwell in the fullness of what we tell, of what God has done. So staying connected with the people, staying connected with God. And what Jesus says in this whole context of, I'm going out of this world, but I'm leaving you in it. I'm going away, you're not going to see me anymore, but then you will see me, he says in this passage. It's quite confusing now. John, the passage in John, I'm going, but I'm staying. You won't see me anymore, but you will see me. And you sort of think, what are you saying, Jesus? What's happening here? But it's this wonderful Trinitarian passage where he's going with the love of the Father, he's going to be with the Father, but the Father's love will be with us. And there's another one, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who's going to guide them and be with them and be in the place of Jesus and be alongside them and bring Jesus to them, because Jesus is actually in the Holy Spirit. And because the Father is in Jesus and the Holy Spirit, then the Father will be with us. And there's all this sort of complicated stuff. But basically, this is God himself is not going to leave us. Jesus goes, but the Holy Spirit comes to make Jesus present. Real. It's a wonderful passage, but it is saying stay connected with God. And what happens when we stay connected with God? So many promises. If you've got your Bible, just have a quick look at John chapter 14. Just look at the words that are used, some of the verbs that are used there in John chapter 14 from verse 15 to 21. And the things that are promised, there's love, there's counsellor, a sense of advocate, someone who stands alongside, you know, there's support basically. There's the company of God, we're going to be with God. There's this clear vision, you're going to see me. There's life, because I live, you also will live. There's truth, I'm sending the Spirit of truth. There's knowledge, you're going to know him, for he lives with you. And it's not just knowledge of the head, but knowledge of the heart. There's adoption, I don't leave you as orphans. And there's this identity wrapped up in God. This is who you are, someone who's in God and God is in you. And love, support, company, clear vision, life, truth, knowledge, adoption. This identity wrapped up in who God is. That's quite a promise. That's quite a set of promises. It keeps us connected with the living God. And our part is simply to keep the commands. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. Keep my commands. Don't think you know better. Just say, okay, yes, Jesus. I'm going to live in this. Thank you for these promises. I'm going to stay connected with you. I'm not going to run away from the world either. I'm going to stay connected. I'm going to listen. I'm going to look. I'm going to care. I'm going to feel something of your compassion. And this is how we make the difference. difference in the world. Very simple. Staying connected with God, staying connected with those around about us. Easy to say. But possible to do. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the offer, the promises that you make, your Spirit dwelling with us and bringing these promises to us. We ask that you would draw near to us this day. Fill us afresh with your Spirit this day, this moment. We long to be agents of blessing and good and change in this world of yours, and we ask for your help. Give us hearts of compassion, hearts that care, hearts that are open to you and to our neighbours. We pray in Jesus' name. And so we stand to say the words of the Creed together. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?